To me, there's many ways of reaching a person for Christ. And one of the ways that you reach some people is that you have to first keep the door open. Because if we had to go on right in there and open the Bible and, you know, probably he would have not wanted anything to do with us. But what we did, the relationship we developed that night, left that door wide open.
For 2,000 years, Christ has been extending His kingdom through ordinary, faithful people. Their blood, sweat, and tears are the seeds of the global church. The gospel is spreading across the world, saving sinners, renewing nations, and changing everything. But today, many in the modern church are weak, torn, comfortable. The book of Hebrews says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, watching us from heaven, spurring us on. The stories of these faithful Christ followers who've gone before us are what we need to wake up and return to our first love for Christ's mission. Let's learn from them.
Welcome to the final episode of Cloud of Witnesses, Season 3. And the final episode for now, as far as we know at the moment. But of course, plans can change. But before we continue with part two of Paul and Patty Collier's story, we want to pause and thank you for joining us over these last 3 years. It's been such an honor and a privilege to share the stories of these faithful gospel servants, men and women, who have served God with humility, steadfastness, and no desire for recognition, but we've given them some of that recognition anyway. Their lives are rich with lessons, encouragements, and examples of God's faithfulness for each of us. And I don't know about you, but my faith has been built up as a result. We hope you too have been blessed by this series, just as we've been in the process of creating it. Well, in the first part of the Colliers story, we heard the remarkable accounts from their time in Paraguay, stories of lives transformed as individuals surrendered themselves to Christ. In this episode, we follow their move from Paraguay to Costa Rica and witness how God continued to work through their ministry, shaping the lives of believers in a new community. And as we pick up their story, Paul begins by sharing an overview of the final church they served in Paraguay.
This work that it was the New Life Church in downtown. It was an incredible church. It was very large, but at the same time, we had every strata of people in that church. We had military, we had every political party imaginable. We had people that would be normally enemies in public, but we had just a wonderful fellowship of believers. And when we left, there were seven pastors. There were some who were missionaries, but we left two Paraguayans as the head pastors, the two pastors when we left. And what God did, He had already worked in my heart, and that He wanted us to leave Paraguay. And that was even hard to think of that, because we love Paraguay. I would have gone anywhere else in Paraguay, but God was leading us to leave Paraguay. And we went and surveyed Nicaragua and Costa Rica. Unfortunately, we went in January of 1999. And that was just 1 month from the hurricane that hit Nicaragua, where 10,000 people were killed, Mitch. So we had to get the yellow fever shots and all this kind of stuff. We went to Nicaragua. We were very impressed. We found just a wonderful ministry that was beginning there. Larry Smith was just an incredible host there. And then we went to Costa Rica. And we found a real distinct. We realized how expensive Costa Rica was, but we saw some wonderful works. And what impressed us about Costa Rica was that we were asked to open the field as veteran missionaries for several missionaries that were coming. They were new, brand new couples. So that's why we decided on Costa Rica.
Right.
So on September 1st, 1999, we hit land in Costa Rica with our youngest son. We spent the next 4 years of high school there and graduated.
A vital part of church planting is equipping national leaders to shepherd the church long after the missionary has gone. As Paul reflects on their transition away from Paraguay, he shares a difficult and heartbreaking experience, discovering that the pastor who'd been entrusted with leadership eventually turned against their teaching and had to be removed from the church.
While we were getting ready, right at the end of our 20 years in Paraguay, we never forget the day that we went to the airport. And the airports in that bay, anybody could come up to the and visit the gates and everything. And they started coming, the people that we had known for 20 years. But the hardest part was when some of the older folks, the grandmas and grandpas that we ministered to over those years, started coming. And it was a really, really difficult time. But I think later on what happened was that we started getting reports about the work that we left, that there were some problems with a doctrinal perspective. And then at one point, I was publicly denounced for my doctrine by the pastor. And we were just totally just torn to pieces because we had worked so hard in that ministry. And then eventually it wasn't long before after that, that the main pastor that we had put in the New Life Church there in Asuncion was taken out. He had to be removed. So, you know, I think sometimes, is that just our ministry went to nothing? Well, what has happened is that with our Facebook ministry, which is pretty large, and I use it as ministry, which some people think, how can you use Facebook for ministry? I do. And we've kept in touch with many, many, many of the people from Paraguay and Costa Rica, and they're pastors and evangelists and just people that still love God. And it's been a blessing to know that the fruit remains, even when there are problems, even when Satan tries to thwart and tear down whatever men have done. But we know God is faithful, and we've been blessed by that.
Leaving Paraguay, where the Colliers had poured 20 years of their lives into the ministry, was not an easy transition. How could it be? Yet Paul and Patty were confident that God was leading them into this new chapter. For Patty, that confidence was soon affirmed as she witnessed the faithfulness of God in opening doors and touching the lives of new believers in Costa Rica.
I remember very clearly, I asked the Lord, what will we experience there? What will be reality there in Costa Rica? And I knew a little bit about the geography of the place, and it's not a real big country. It's like West Virginia in size. So that when we started that church plant, I knew there would be somebody in that church who was from another place, who loved his family in that other place, and was trying to get to see them as often as he could, and who would share his vision for his family with us. We eventually would go out there and see a work planted out there. And that came to pass. So we planted a church in San Jose, but we planted another in Las Delicias, Guanacaste. And I remember sharing that vision. I translated it into Spanish and showed it to him, that gentleman. And he cried because he knew that God had a purpose for his life. And it wasn't just visiting mom and pop, but it was to see a real living church planted in the town where they lived, on a property that strangers in the United States would sacrifice to buy. It's a teamwork. Our supporters are just families that give to funds at ABWE that hear our vision. And God did this whole thing. And to God be the glory for the whole thing. There are many stories, bumpity bump, going across those roads. We bottomed out more times than not, right, Paul? But we got there and we got home. Never lost an engine. So that's my big story for Costa Rica.
I think one of the neatest stories of conversion we had in Costa Rica. It was exciting, the work we had as far as people, the way they loved the Lord, the way they shared Christ. We had one lady in our church. Her name is Claudia. She was a lovely Colombian woman that was married to a Costa Rican, and she became a member of our church. Wonderful girl. But every service, she said, "Pray for my husband, Rafael." Rafa, they called him Rafa. And as we got to know her more, she would share more openly her relationship with her husband, and he was incredibly cruel to her. As far as the way he talked to her, the things he talked to her about, he would talk about other women, and he would actually, when he would bring her to church, he actually wouldn't completely stop. She would kind of jump out of the car, things like that that don't make any sense, that I've never heard of in her life. So the years went by, and he hated our church, our ministry, because he came from a very, very devout Roman Catholic background. And he became very ill. He was from an upper middle class family, and they had a beautiful home near our church. And he became ill. It turns out he had brain cancer. And he started getting, as we might say, softer. And one day, after all these years, it'd been 9 years we were praying for his salvation, and he never wanted to even see us, he said, "Claudia, I'm going to invite the pastor and his wife to our home for a meal." Well, Claudia, you can imagine, Claudia just was on cloud nine. And we went, and it was a beautiful night. Well, most of the nights in San Jose are beautiful because it's just a beautiful city. It's springtime weather all year round. We were out in their beautiful patio. He had made a paella, Spanish paella, and we sat and we talked for 4 hours. Now, to me, there's many ways of reaching a person for Christ. And one of the ways that you reach some people is that you have to first keep the door open. Because if we had gone right in there and opened the Bible and, you know, probably he would have not wanted anything to do with us. But what we did, the relationship we developed that night left that door wide open. In fact, my wife, and I didn't know it until later, when we were leaving, she hugged him and says, "Jesus loves you, Rafa." And so Claudia told us the next few days just how he had been changing. And then finally she came to us, he accepted the Lord. So it was another new relationship with him. And he started growing. You'd think that he had been a Christian for 20 years, the way he was talking, and he was having a harder time. His wife had to read the Bible to him because he was nearly blind. And he gave me a number of his books, and he gave me a number of his paintings that he did. And his wife had to help, she had to help him sign his name. But that was at the very end of us being in Costa Rica. And we left in August of 2014. And about 4 weeks later, he died. But before he died, of course, his Roman Catholic family, they had to bring in the priest, and this priest was there, and his brother was there, and of course, Claudia. And the priest came in there to give him his last rites. And Rafa says, "I don't need that." He says, "I know Jesus. I accepted him as my Savior, and I'm going to heaven very shortly, and I don't need that." Well, of course, Claudia understood it well. The brother didn't say a word. He died a couple of days later, and they had a evangelical funeral at our church. The place was packed to the gills, and in walks his family, which everybody was surprised that they would come. But this, I'm talking about upper class people from several different towns, and they're all part of the family. And in the middle of the service, one of the sisters stood up and says, "You people killed my brother. you people in this doctrine of evangelical, and she went on and on and on. They finally had to take her out. But I had never heard of that before in my life. So, of course, Claudia was devastated. Well, next day was the Catholic Mass for him. And Claudia just said, I've got to go. I've got to be with that family. She was in the middle of the family. They didn't have much to do with her, but here he's there. And his brother got up. The brother who was there when the priest was there. And he shared exactly what Rafa said. And she sat there and thought, he's given the gospel and he doesn't even realize it. But she was so elated because she thought, here was the evangelical one was ruined. And then in the Catholic Mass, the gospel was proclaimed by a brother who shared from his heart what his brother said before the priest. So the thing is, I think one thing that we can learn from this is that never give up praying for someone. Never give up saying that it's impossible. My wife and I pray for a number of people every single day of our lives for their salvation. And Rafa is the one that gives us the encouragement that God can do anything. And to us, it's a thrill to know that that Rafa's in heaven and Claudia to this day is just rejoicing in the Lord for what he did.
As we've heard throughout these three seasons of Cloud of Witnesses, church planting missionaries are often called to serve as theological educators to help equip national pastors and other leaders in the church to thrive when the missionaries leave. Paul experienced this firsthand during their time in Costa Rica, where he became involved with the Spanish Language Institute. He now shares how God opened that door and used it to strengthen their ministry.
When we were working in Costa Rica, I had just a unique ministry that I just was thrilled to be a part of. And I don't know how I fitted in with all the other stuff I was doing, but God was in it. I spoke one time at the Spanish Language Institute in San Jose, which is the largest in the world of that sort. And many of our missionaries, ABW missionaries, go there for language study. And I spoke one time, and then the administrator came up to me and says, Paul, would you be interested in being on the board? I said, sure. And I became a part of the board, and I ended up being the president of the board for 9 years. So I was on the board for 14 years, and 9 of those years I was president of the institute. But what I want to say about this place is that one of the most thrilling things that I all those 14 years was they had between 2 and 3 graduations every time because they had 3 tri-semesters. So it depends. It could be just a few people. It would be a dozen people that are graduating each time, but they would have a procession of the flags of the people going to the different countries. And it was always a blessing to hear the testimonies and everything. But I'll never forget one couple, a Southern Baptist couple. The Spanish Language Institute was where before I came out of the Southern Baptists pulled out of South America as missionaries. And so we didn't have any more Southern Baptists coming to there, but that's where they sent all their missionaries. But what was really neat is that there was a couple that had a flag that I'd never seen before, and it was Spanish Sahara. And it was the only Spanish-speaking country in Africa. And here it was, they were going to a country, no electricity, nothing. And it was a young couple with several children. I thought, to God be the glory that they had, you know, that drive and seeing the need there. But one thing that to me was really interesting about the Language Institute, and I'm thinking of people who just would like to brush up their Spanish or work a little more on their Spanish, or they need a little refresher course. You can go to the Language Institute there in San Jose and take a 4-week course, a 6-week course, 2-month course, and it's very intensive. But you live with a Costa Rican couple, family. So you're immersed in the language, not only in the school, but you're in where you're living. But it is really a blessing to be a part of that ministry all those years, and just to be blessed by how God uses people. And the last few years, there's been a great number of Koreans that have come to the Language Institute because they were going to Spanish speaking countries, and there were some Japanese and Europeans of different countries. But to me, it was one of the great privileges I had to be a part of that, and to see how God was using people and in reaching the Spanish speaking world.
After 35 years on the field, and with Patty facing ongoing health challenges, the Colliers sensed that it was time to return to the United States. But stepping away from international missions didn't mean stepping away from ministry. Even in their retirement, they continued to faithfully serve their community through their local church.
We returned to the States in 2014 in August, and it was hard to leave Costa Rica, the same as it was hard when we left Paraguay. It was very hard in Paraguay. And we decided to come to Florida. We decided to come to Florida because Florida, we had been in tropical weather all our life, and we were not going north, although some of our family up at north, we'd go to visit them.
Snow as possible.
Yeah. So we came to Bradenton, and we went to Il Villaggio, the missionary center there in Bradenton. And we were there for 3 years. Then God did something special. He allowed us to buy a home, which it was a miracle. The only home we had ever bought was in Costa Rica.
Just enough money left over from the little house we had bought in Paraguay in Costa Rica. And it was just the amount we needed to get in there. So that's how we had the money when we sold our house with the value increase.
Okay, so what happened was my wife got ill, and we're not sure exactly. She has all the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. She even is on Parkinson's medicine, which has helped her greatly. But we realized that we needed to be think of the future for her health and my health and just the future. But we didn't have. We had this home that we had bought in Ruskin, Florida, and what are we going to do? So that's when we decided that we would sell our house. And we sold our house at the perfect timing in Florida.
The first one that looked at it.
The first person that looked at it bought it. We had enough money to buy into where we are now. We're in Westminster Manor, which is a independent living and all the different assisted living and all that here in
life
in Bradenton, Florida. We love being here. We love the ministry we have here, and we are just thrilled that we're in the First Baptist Church of Palmetto. We've been there since 2016. We had been in two other churches working in Hispanic ministry, but God brought us to First Baptist Church of Palmetto. I'm the pastor of the Hispanic ministry there. I'm on the missionary committee. I write devotionals weekly for our church. My wife has been in the choir and loves it. But we've been very, very active. And one of the things that really thrill us in May 4th, we are having a ministry. It's called Serve Saturday. We have three times a year at church. It's a very large church. So there's hundreds of people that go out all over the community and do all kinds of ministry. And the ministry God has given us all these years is called the Laundromat Ministry. Now, we're in a church that can afford this. Because it's an expensive ministry. What we do, we have two laundromats we go into. We have two teams. They're divided between those who speak English and those that are bilingual, because we minister both in English and Spanish in the laundromats. And we go on a Saturday from 7:30 to 11:30, and we always advertise it beforehand. And we just pay for everybody's laundry services. If you haven't been in the laundromat in about 20 years,
you're in for
you were shocked to see how expensive it is now. And when we tell people, no, put your coins away, we're paying for your services day, it's amazing the reaction. Tears, thanks. But then what we had the incredible privilege of sharing why we're doing this. We're not doing this because, you know, we're just, you guys, we're people that want to share the love of Christ. And we've seen a lot of people saved. I've baptized some of the people. And we will be doing again on May 4th. But we love this ministry and we're just blessed how God has blessed us. But we always are trying to find ministry or be Jesus wherever we're at. And we have table mates right now. We have the new meal in our dining hall or dining room where we live. We're in, actually part of the community is in a mobile home park where we are right next to it. And we go to the noon lunch. And we will be gone. We go and we found a group. There's four people plus us. And our job, we believe, is love them and be Jesus to them. And we've seen just blessings through that. And they're so used to, I began praying, because none of them have ever prayed at a meal. But I go and we pray for our meal and pray for whatever needs they have.
And now they share their prayer requests.
Yes. With us. So God is working. But the thing is,
by little.
Yeah. But what we realize, we just need to be Jesus wherever we are.
And so if you think, well, I couldn't do that. Oh, don't kid yourself. Because God's given you a tool set that's ideal for whatever he has you to do. Just remember that. And he'll use it over and over again. And you'll be amazed, just like we were. And you'll say, that's why this or that happened in my life. Here I am using that tool. So be comforted and know that God can use even you.
The story of Paul and Patty Collier is one marked by unwavering commitment to the Lord and a deep love for the people that God had placed in their path. From decades of church planting and discipleship in Paraguay to teaching, mentoring, and training future leaders in Costa Rica, their ministry reflects a lifetime of obedience to God's call. Even in retirement, their commitment to continuing to serve Christ didn't diminish at all as they continued pouring into their local church and the surrounding community. Their journey stands as a testimony to God's sustaining grace and the enduring impact of a life surrendered to him. And for us, it's a call for us as well to obey God through the long obedience in the same direction that Scripture calls us to continue day in, day out to serve him no matter the cost and no matter the consequence. And that's what we'd like for you to remember as we conclude this season of Cloud of Witnesses. Cloud of Witnesses is a production of ABWE. I'm your host, Alex Kochman. Our production director is Grant Boring. Our researcher and interviewer is Jay York. Production support is provided by Brian Van Timmeren. Additional voiceovers by Jason Younger. Get equipped to make disciples yourself and learn about how you can reach the nations at abwe.org.
Cloud of Witnesses is a production of ABWE. ABWE is a global family of ministries reaching more than 80 countries by sharing Christ, planting churches, and training Christian leaders. After nearly 100 years, ABWE is continuing to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You can help us advance the kingdom for the next 100 years and beyond by supporting the mission through the Global Gospel Fund. Learn more at abwe.org/cloud.